We've looked in the book of Acts. Has God used supernatural means in the book of Acts so far? He absolutely has. Has he used healing? He absolutely has. Has he used preaching? He absolutely has. Has he used people that didn't even know they were being used? He absolutely has. Has he used bad to do his purposes? Absolutely. He used persecution in Saul, did he not? I guess what I'm saying is when we look at the scriptures a lot of time, a lot of us will get bent on God only operating this way. Now, let me preface that. If the scriptures is clear that this is only what God does, then I'm all for that. But what I'm talking about is some people say signs and gifts are the only way to reach lost and dying people. And to that I would say, signs and gifts are but one of the tools in the arsenal of the Almighty. And we're going to look in this story where sometimes, because you just hear that, right? And they have their tent revivals where everybody's got to get healed for someone to get saved. I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying, does God only save people through healing and deliverance or through supernatural means? Supernaturally does. But what I'm saying is miraculous. There you go, miracles. Does he only reach men by miracle? Nope. Does God only reach other men and women with pastors? Nope. There's another tool that the Almighty has. Does he only reach men and women through apologetics? Nope. There's another tool that the Almighty has. Does he only reach a lost and dying world through apostles? Nope. That was a tool that the Almighty has. As good as the tools are, we know that they're not as good as the master, but I just want us to see that God is not limited in his means by reaching people. He had a plan as far back, that we know of anyway, in the Old Testament, to bring the Gentiles to faith. This was God's plan. And his plan was to use the law to enlighten even Israel for their need of salvation, that the law could not keep them holy and pure because they weren't holy and pure. And the law only frustrated them to figure out that they weren't as holy and pure as they thought they were. Or they just lied to themselves and said they were. And then they were to be a light, right? We've been looking at that for weeks now. They were to be a light for the Gentiles. They should have been a beacon. They should have been a lighthouse saying, come here, this is salvation. And we saw last week what happens is the Gentiles came and said, well, no, that's not what we want. We want judgment on these filthy dogs because of them we've been scattered. And in many ways, I think they missed why they were scattered. They weren't scattered because of God, there we go, using his tools, used the Gentiles to scatter Israel. And at the heart of that was what? Let's look at the Old Testament time and time again. At the heart of that was his people rebelling against him. And so God scatters them. And yet in their finite minds, because they're finite, right, just as we are, they blame the Gentiles for the dispersal, right? Is it the Gentiles? Maybe they're an instrument, but who's at the heart of their dispersal? God, to discipline them. So we looked last week where Paul Paul and Barnabas, I don't know where he came from right now. Paul and Barnabas and their work that they had done amongst the Gentiles. And now they're moving on in chapter 14 to a new city. Now at Iconium, because you remember when they left, they shook the dust from their sandals because they were being rejected, right? The Jews said, we don't want to hear this message anymore. And they were driven out of town. And they said, fine, we'll go somewhere else. So they're gone now to Iconium. Now at Iconium, they entered together in the Jewish synagogue. There they go again. That's where they start. And spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. Look at the tool here. Is there a miracle why they believe? Is there something that they've done? Is there a healing? Is there a raising from the dead that's gone on? Nope. They've just gone in and spoke. And through the words of God, men and women repented. And I would say it's the work of the Holy Spirit ultimately. But I'm just saying, look at the tool God used in human form. They're talking in the synagogue and they turn. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So they remained for a long time speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. When an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat them and to stone them, they learned of it and fled to Lystra, Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding country. And there they continued to preach the gospel. And so here we see they've gone into the town, as has been their custom. And they preached in the synagogue, as been their custom. And when they get there, many Jews and Greeks have believed, but we hear and understand that this has bothered some of the remaining Jews, right? And what have they done? They've stirred up anger, and I love that terminology there, poisoned the minds of the Greeks to go after their brother. So now they've even got those outside of the Jewish faith. Man, I'm struggling with words today. Pray for me, I'm not even joking. Jewish faith now attacking new converts. Now you remember when they were in their other missionary journey and the message wasn't received, they just shook their sandals and went off. Why is it they remain here? And the scripture just says they remain for a long time. I think the key to understanding that is this, that they were speaking and threatening the brothers. It's not now that Paul and Barnabas and the message is being rejected. It's that these new converts who don't have the footing yet are being attacked. And Paul and Barnabas, being wise disciplers, are discipling these folks through the suffering, right? And they're not going to go until they feel like there's safety for this new young church. However, at some point, and I want you to see here too, look, the word of his, and they continue to bear witness to the word and by his grace granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. And so I just want to highlight this because, again, I don't want to speak out against signs and wonders. That's not my intent at all in this speech. There are those who believe those gifts are done. I don't know that they are. However, I do know this. They cannot be our only theology or our only framework by which we can see God moving and working. If we're constantly looking for signs and wonders, and that's the only way we know that God's in something, we will be very disappointed because that is just one tool that the Almighty may use. And some of us just believe if we could just see a sign or wonder, people would believe. And I just want to say, watch here. The first part of this text was just by hearing the word, many believed. Now they're doing signs and wonders, and are people believing? Some are, it says, but the city's divided. In other words, what I'm saying is this. There's this longing, I think, in our hearts with our evangelism. If we could just get the people to see this, they'd embrace it. If only, and I've been guilty of this. If only, God, you would heal. This is just young teenager Antonio. God, if you would spare my grandfather's life, maybe my cousins would see that you are the God of heaven that can heal people. And the reality of that is, God might have healed my grandfather. He didn't. I don't know that my grandfather wanted to be healed either, to be honest with you. He was just like, I'm tired, and when the roll is called up yonder in about an hour, I will be there. And that's legit. I was like, you are a crazy old man. Look at the glory God could get through your healing, as though God couldn't get glory through his death. We want to pigeonhole God to always use a screwdriver when he's got way more than a screwdriver at his disposal. He's the creator of it all. You and I, limited. You come to my house on Christmas, on 23rd, celebrate our Christmas party, and say, Antonio, why haven't you fixed that there? And I will be quite honest with you and say, because I got a screwdriver and a rubber mallet hammer. And I got the rubber mallet hammer because these door hinges in my house, they always pop up. And this is the one job I'm good at in my house. Every once a month, I walk around my house, and these things, I don't know why they do that. I hate it. And they pop up, and once a month, you'll find my little rubber mallet. Dun, 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 dun. Feeling all handyman-ish. The sink gets stopped up, and apparently real men are supposed to do plumbing. I saw that on, I'm addicted to Duck Dynasty now. Oh gosh, help us all. This is coming, y'all. Y'all don't even know. Just don't tell Connie. She's left. She's left. I just want y'all to know it's coming. Just on the down low. Anyway, I did try to do plumbing one time. And I don't have the proper wrench, but by golly, thank goodness that I don't know if my house is cheap or not. Maybe houses are all now are made with, it's plastic. What is that plastic? It's PVC now, so I was strong enough to be like, ha-ha! And I got my clog out. I felt really good. I could have done it a whole lot quicker. It's called a plumber's wrench or something, maybe? I don't know. I Googled it. Technology, one of my tools. The sad thing is when it shows me something I should have and I don't have. I'm like, that stinks. Anyway. Here we see that they first came to faith by talking. Here we see that when signs and miracles occur, some believe and some don't. I'm just saying, can we just get over this idea, if only God did this, we'd see this? And can we trust and rely that God's got an arsenal of ways to bring his truth It all includes his word, by the way. That's the primary thing here. It's not like sign and wonder, and they're going to be like, oh, I get it now. You got to tell him who he is. So that's the foundation of it all. But I'm just saying, could it be that it could be a child talking to another child, that God would bring about salvation? I believe it. Little kids can evangelize better than you and I can, I tell you that right now. Especially in my classroom, I just love it. I have a little lunch with them, and they start talking theology. I let them go at it. I can't get in trouble then, can I? They brought it up. I was just sitting there eating my sandwich. Little booger's like, this is a true story. Little booger said, booger, I shouldn't call him that. Little snapper, he was so cute. He's a handful. He's not my student, though. Mr. Cordovi! Yeah. You know what? If you do good, you go up there. Oh, really? Another little kid said, no, you don't. You need Jesus. I was like, let's go. Bring it on, little fella. I couldn't. I didn't start this if I ever got in trouble. A little dude there said Jesus, and I just said, oh, let's talk a little bit. That's a true story. I was just shocked. Really? Because we're talking about first graders, 7 years old, 6, 7 year old, in a bad part of town. Someone's grandmama or great-grandmama took them somewhere, because that's in that culture, and that's great. I hope that their children will be the next future grandmas or grandmas and do it for their offspring too. Time will tell, I guess. The people were divided. Some sided with the Jews, some with the apostles. When an attempt was made by Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat them and to stone them, they learned of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding country. And there, they continued to preach the gospel. There they did what they were instructed to do all along, right? Now, to me, what's the biggest miracle in all this? I'm going to be very honest with you. The biggest miracle to me is this, that they continue to preach the gospel. And yet we don't want to call that a miracle. What we want to call a miracle is they were doing signs and wonders. But to me, a greater miracle is that frail humanity, like you and I, would be threatened with our own life, and that we would be threatened with stoning, and we would be driven out of a town, only to continue on with faithfully providing the message. To me, that is the greatest miracle that I've seen so far in the text. You might say that it was someone healed. Well, that's cool, but a changed heart and life to me is way more, because just the longer I live, just the longer I just see, it's hard to change people. You've heard it before, right? Like you can tell a leopard by his spots, or you can't change a leopard's spots. I'm horrible at those things. What are those things called? What's that? Oh, they're sayings. What are those sayings? I don't know what they're called. They're idioms? I'm horrible with idioms. I don't remember like a penny earned as a dime. No. Dollars, pennies. See? I'm horrible at those. But isn't there one like you can't change a leopard's spots? Okay, that's right. Whew. You hear that, right? Hey, whether you like to admit that you've seen that daytime trash TV before, I've seen it before. I've been sitting up in the hospital waiting room. I can't change the channel and old Springer or whatever. The guy that does the, I can't obviously watch them now, so don't think that I am and start praying for me, although you got to pray for me on Christmas apparently. But the guy with the paternity tests, he's made a whole show and career on that. I don't know his name, but like, Maury, you are not little Tyree's father. You are, whatever. And that guy, right? Every time there's a cheater on one of those shows, right? The whole audience says what? Once a cheater, always a cheater. Once a skeptic, always a skeptic, right? Listen, I love my dad, but he's skeptical about everything. The day my dad just believes something at face value, I'll be like, wow, look at the miraculous work of God. Now, he could say the same thing about me. My father would probably say, I love my son, but he's rebellious about everything, including Christmas. And the day that my son is okay with Christmas, I'll believe in the power. I'm just saying, right, to me, especially in our age, where we see people healed, maybe through medical practice or whatever, but it's like almost second nature now that some things we know, like, well, that'd be a big thing. But, you know, like, there was a day that people died of just some of the stuff we just take care of easily now. Right? I mean, appendicitis used to kill people, like, regularly, right? And now it's like, oh, your side hurts right here? Let's just take it out just in case. And you go on living. Cold, whatever. In other places of the world that don't have what we have, people, but I don't want to lessen physical healing. But to me, greater miracles are someone with chronic disease, chronic pain, and continually going on. People who are constantly suffering and saying, God, you are good. People who experience death and loss and pain and suffering and financial ruin, and they stand up and say, it is well with my soul. That to me is greater, bigger miracle than now you can see. That's just me though. I'm not saying that you might be wired differently than I am. But what I'm saying is we can't put all of our hope and dependence on one thing being the end-all, be-all, because God is using His people and His Word and His Spirit to reach a dying world. And if God uses a miracle to get someone's attention, He can. But if all He uses is a... Listen, because I've been one who's spoken out of these people before, and I repent. If He uses a guy that I see on the corner of Bloomingdale and Gornto Lake with his big cross and his sign in his Bible, wearing his little hat, out there just standing all day just praying for people, if He uses that, can God use that? He's got all the requirements, doesn't He? He's giving the message out of the Scriptures, and He's proclaiming what God does. That being said, what modern Christendom likes to do is, oh, that worked. Let us repackage that and let us all do that. I'm not, I promise. Don't hear me wrongly when I say this. I'm not against modern mega church. But in essence, somewhere it worked and has been repackaged and rehashed, and it's been recloned, and it's been redone, and this is just my opinion, you can disagree. All it's really done, it's saved a few, just as we've saved a few, but in the end, it's just taken resources from little guys like us. Because it does feel better to worship with a whole team. And it does feel better to sit together. And it does feel better when there's more of us sitting. It just feels naturally better. And it feels better when there's somewhere for my child to be. And it feels better when the kids have someone to watch them and we're not having to borrow teenage girls to watch our kids during the service. It feels better when we got a program for our teenagers. It feels better when we got something for our young adults to do and be. But all I'm saying to you is if we're going to pigeon that that's the only way God is going to reach the United States of America today, we are going to miss that God can use 12 people in a sanctuary that was built for 300. You're a tool. And your master, not that kind, Ben. That's a derogative thing, I think. But I didn't mean it that way at all. At all. Sorry. I do that kind of stuff. Yeah, I saw something this week that just broke my heart. But anyways. And what's masterful is that our master knows how to use each and every individual tool to its best potential. And we don't have to rehack and repackage and buy software or buy the latest, greatest book to share Jesus with someone else. We've got the book that it takes. That's it. So I don't have to follow someone's model. I've got Jesus' model that I could follow. One of the big things when I was at seminary was to follow Saddleback's model. And I remember we had to come up with our own baseball diamond because that's what they did there. And a healthy church had this. And then once it had that, it would have this. And once it had that, it would have this. And then it would have this. And a lot of it, I was like, where's that in the Scriptures? Where's that we all wear a name tag and smile every Sunday in the Scriptures? Because I'm under the conviction someone who doesn't believe in Jesus, needs to see someone that doesn't believe in Jesus, not smiling all the time. They need to know that you and I hurt and bleed just like they do. And that we suffer, and that we're not goody-goodies, because that's their picture of us. We're goody-goody, and because we're goody-goody, everything is well in our life. And when they find out it's not, they're shocked, or they say, we knew it was a facade. This is my personal conviction. But the lost and dying world would see one of us suffering and still cling to hope in our Savior, whether it's our illness or it's poverty or it's in our sadness and it's been in our abuse, whatever. If they just see that we're wearing that on the outside and we're still clinging to this Jesus, they'd be like, wait a second. You're clinging to that through that? He's not just your Band-Aid? He's not so you could cope through life? No. He's life. Can you imagine? Here's the next Well, I don't have time, do I? I don't have a clock anymore. I got 4 minutes to wrap it up. I'll finish this up next week. I didn't think it was going to take that long. And then, yeah, it don't work, I don't think. According to that, it's 5 to 12. According to my tool, with satellite, the kind of like, that's from the satellite from Sprint. You got no, it's got to be right. According to that, it's 12, 13, 11. I got 4 minutes. So we'll finish up 8, and then maybe, because I was going to try. I was going to really try, because Robert got me all jacked up, something about Advent, and you got to light candles or something. And Steve Minter used to be good at that. You said Steve was good at that. I got to find that stuff. Like, I don't know what candle you light for what. I'll do it this year just for the fun of it, because I know some of y'all would like that, maybe. I don't know. If not, I heard during offering, Caden could use to hear in the story, so we'll go through that. But let me just finish up Act next week, and I will give you a scriptural walk through it. Well, I talk about the wise men. Yeah, they just won't get there on that day. All right, can we agree on that one? If not, I'll show you that's not true. It's like he's 2, maybe 3. We don't even know. All right, sorry. But we'll look at that. Hey, listen. God did come, and he sent his son in flesh to live a life we couldn't live. And he's calling and willing to use you and I to reach other people with that message. And he doesn't need the latest, greatest gimmick like we think. He doesn't need the internet. He can use it. He don't need the Apple 5 or whatever they're calling it. Is it 5 the new one? I don't even know, because they went from like 3 to 3G to 4 to 4S, so it'll be 5, 5D. I don't even know. He don't need the Galaxy. He don't need Android or any of that, and he doesn't need an app for it. This is the God of the universe who has everything he needs at his disposal. And he's going to draw men and women to himself if we're faithful to share his word and use our gifts and talents to do it and be ourselves to do it. Don't go out and be the next Billy Graham if you're not Billy Graham. You go out and be you, sold out for Jesus, sharing the word of Jesus, and watch and see what he does. And be honest, because people can spot through fake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this time, opportunity to share your word. I love it, God. I'm just grateful that you have set this passion before me, and I want to continue to be passionate about sharing and teaching your word. Lord, as we joked a little bit today, God, and just played around, I'm just serious in my conviction and belief that those who say if only we saw a sign, the sign would not be good enough. They'd want something else. Or if only I knew the answer to this, there'd always be another question. And yet, Father, could it be, as we've seen in the scriptures, you may use this one man to plant this seed, you might use this one lady to water the seed, and you might use that person to reap the harvest. Father, you might use a confrontational guy standing at the street corner thumping his Bible at someone, or you might use the peaceful person who sits in their cubicle and lives at peace with others to speak your truth. Father, you might speak through those who will go into the arena of philosophy and those who will go into the places of higher education and debate philosophy and theology. And you might use just the little sweet lay grandma who only knows how to love and share your story, Father, through baking her goods. I don't even know. You can use it, Father, through the aristocrat. You can use it. You could use the poor person. Father, you could perform a miracle and sign so great that we'd be in awe of you. Or you could speak humbly and quietly, Father, through a child. You are God. And as we've been learning in Ecclesiastes, even in Acts, Father, you can use anything at your disposal, Father. And we are but men. We don't know the future. We don't know what today is going to even bring. But we know that you do. So we submit to you and your power and your might. And we ask you, Father, to shape us, mold us to who you want us to be, not who we think we need to be or who someone else wants us to be. And may we share your word and see your power and might through even the small numbers of us in this place. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.